We're looking at a man called Elijah. He's one of my favorite Old Testament characters, and I think you'll find him very exciting. Ed Brown's going to come and read from 1 Kings.
Okay, I'm reading 1 Kings 17, 1 through 9. I'm reading from the New International Version. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. And I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath.
Thank you, Ed. God wants us to live in dependence upon him. That's a tough statement. Those of us that have grown up and born and raised in the United States, where we live in a country where rugged individualism is so powerful, it's just kind of in us, you know? It's like, what if you woke up tomorrow morning and you found yourself near the Arctic Circle, north up in Canada, and it was cold, and all you had was a knife, what would you do? You know, like, oh, I'm rugged, man, I can do it, I can make it. Well, God wants us to live in dependence upon him. God wants us to live by faith. The Bible's very clear. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, that's God's word. That's not me. That's God saying, trust in me with all of your heart. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. I mean, do you want to please God? Well, don't answer out loud. Maybe some of you don't. But if you really want to please God, he says you have to have faith. You live by faith. So here's the pressing question. How do we live by faith in God? How do we live in total dependence upon him? The answer to that is very important, because it's going to separate the spiritual men from the boys. I hope you don't want to stay a boy all your life, you know. Who said that? I want to be a boy, don't bother me. I want to stay a boy all my life. Peter Pan. Okay, we've talked about Peter Pan in the past. But God's word here has the answer. The answer is very important. God wants us to live by faith. He wants to live us to live in dependence upon him. How do we do it? Well, there's a fantastic example here, and that's why we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 17, Old Testament, because this model of Elijah will teach us how to live in dependence upon God. And for us to have some handles to hold on to, I want to share with you this morning 5 pillars of a life of faith. 5 pillars. Now, if we spend 20 minutes per pillar, is that okay? No, it's not okay. Some of you didn't even get it, did you? 5 pillars, 20 minutes per pillar. It's a lot of stuff here. Each of these 5 pillars is going to be a book that I'll write someday, you know, in the future. I'm going to write a lot of books, I think. But I want to call them pillars because they will be our support if we want to live in total dependence upon him. They will be support structures vital for a life of faith. So let's look at what these pillars are. Some of them are going to radically challenge us. Some will radically change us if we want to live in dependence upon God. Number one, first pillar, make a total commitment to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make a total commitment to live for the Lord. Elijah's words here in verse 1, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve." See, that challenges us. Who are we serving? Who are you serving today? Will we serve God? Will we make that total commitment to live for the Lord? Elijah was making a total commitment to live for the Lord regardless of the consequences. Underline that. Regardless of the consequences. If you know anything about this passage, and I would encourage you today to read chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18 of 1 Kings. There's no Super Bowl today, right? That's done. Daytona doesn't come 500 for a couple of weeks. So today, just kind of kick back and read Kings. Doesn't that sound exciting? Yeah, it is really very exciting passage. Elijah was making a total commitment to live for the Lord regardless of the consequences. In the context in which he was saying this, he had gone to Ahab, the king of Israel, and Ahab's wife was, some of you will remember this name, Jezebel. Do you know any Jezebels? No, don't answer that. Okay. I mean, Ahab and Jezebel, wicked king, queen of Israel, God's people. And Ahab, Elijah goes to Ahab and he says, "Ahab, you are a wicked, idolatrous king. There is not going to be any rain for 3 years." Whoa. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you say, well, we're going to go to the president of the United States, or we're going to go to the head of the United Nations, and we're going to say, because you're idolaters or whatever, there's not going to be any rain for 3 years. Well, that's what Elijah does. So he is sharing this. I'm making a total commitment to live for the Lord regardless of the consequences. He was prepared to stand alone in the face of idolatry and terrible wickedness. This is a total commitment to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of great danger and in the face of great opposition. And that moment was a defining moment in Elijah's life. It would begin to define his faith, that his faith was beginning to mature. See, God requires us to make a total commitment to live for the Lord Jesus Christ if we want to live by faith. That's where it all begins, our relationship to Jesus. Jesus, I'm living for you. I'm living to serve you. You are the Lord of my life. It's all about you, Jesus. That's why we sang that song, which I love that song. Jesus, lover of my soul. It's not about me. It's all about you. That total commitment. Proverbs 3:5, let me quote that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Luke 14:33, these are Jesus' words. They are very powerful. They cut like a dagger in our lives. Listen to Jesus. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Now we go, that's not the Jesus I want to hear about. I want a little Jesus as a plastic statue that I stick on my dashboard. Or I want a Jesus that's still stuck on a crucifix. I want a Jesus, a nice blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy that's going around in sandals, you know, kind of like a hippie dude. That's the Jesus I want. Don't quote this kind of stuff to me. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Those are Jesus' words. And anything that comes between us and Jesus has actually become an idol. And God will not tolerate idols. And he will actually do everything he can to get rid of them. We have to make the choice. But those idols have to go if we want to live in total dependence upon him. That's the first pillar of faith. That's where it all starts. Total commitment to live for you, Jesus. Have you made that commitment to live for Jesus Christ? That's where a God-pleasing life begins. That's where a life of faith begins. It's the only way to live. Second pillar, to live by the word of God. Elijah's example here is in verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He had just given these words, these prophetic words to Ahab. It's not going to rain for 3 years. And now the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. And so Elijah's in this whole moment and this mode of he's listening to God. That's another sermon. Listening to God. Do you know God's a speaking God? He's speaking to you right now. But are we listening? Is there so much static? You know, it's like the old AM radios. Some of you are too young to remember them, you know. FM and all the frequency modulation and all that did away with static. But the old AM radios, and I remember as a kid turning on my little transistor AM radio and trying to get the oldies station of Cousin Brucey out of New York, you know. And I'm in Pittsburgh area. So on a nice crystal clear night, man, you could turn it on and here's Cousin Brucey in New York, AM little radio, and then the static would kick in, you know. And some people can't hear God because of the static. But all I'll tell you, Elijah is going to be a man living in total dependence upon God. And he was a man of faith and he listened to God. He was in his whole, I'm attuned with you, God. I know you're speaking and I'm listening. For us, the word of God is the Bible. That's scripture. Are we listening to him? Elijah did nothing apart from the Lord. The Bible is God's revelation. And if you really want to hear God speaking to you, pick up that book and say, God, it's not just a book. It's not just about history. And it's not just about some culture and people. And it's not just about heaven or hell. And that's all there. But it's all about God talking to us. And he will speak to you. That Bible becomes our source of truth, our source of absolutes, our whole foundation for living, our whole foundation for our worldview, our philosophy of life, our ethics and our morals and our values and all of the choices and how we relate to people, be it in dating or marriage and our whole life and all of that. All of that comes from the Word of God, and God will speak to us. Listen to Jesus' words again from Mark chapter 4, verse 4. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Wow. That's why I asked Connie, and I very rarely on Sundays ask her to pick certain songs, but today I asked her to pick Breathe, the last song that we did, because if you listen to the words, this is the very air that I breathe, your presence. This is the very bread that I have. You are my life. See, if we want to live in dependence upon God, this pillar is absolutely necessary. Show me a Christian, a professing follower of Jesus, who is weak in faith, and I'll show you a person who is weak in God's word, either knowing it or believing it or living it. See, the very fabric, the very fiber and fabric of how we view life and how we make choices must be built on the pillar of God's word. Do you know Jesus? Do you know his word? He's speaking today. Leave God's word out of your life and you will find yourself, and I quote Jesus, living in sinking sand. And that covers everything in life. Yes, our ethics and our morals and our worldview. It involves our choices for dating and marriage and a career and raising our children and our money and our finances and our management of our money, the management of our time, the use of our time and the use of our talents and our treasures. All comes back to, are we listening to Jesus and are we doing his word? Third pillar. Now, I have to warn you. Get ready, okay? This is an area where we're going to find out who's serious about living a life of faith and living a total dependence upon God kind of life. Pillar number three, allowing God to change us. Well, let's just let that soak in for a minute, okay? Allowing God to change us. And oh, we struggle with that. And I know the older we get, the harder that becomes. I'm getting old. Well, my wife says I'm not allowed to say that. I can't say I'm getting old. But I am. I still ride my Harley, though. I guess that keeps me young. Verse 3 in this passage, God speaks to Elijah. Here's what he says. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the ravine of Kirith. God led Elijah to a ravine, a little cave beside a brook. And that ravine, a cave, would be his home for possibly 3 years. Doesn't sound too cool, does it? I mean, here he was going before the king. And now God says, leave there. And I want you to get down to this little brook area. And I want you to this little ravine. And you're going to live here for 3 years. You see, God was doing that to get Elijah alone in order to change him and prepare him for Mount Carmel. That's why you read chapter 18 of 1 Kings. That's where he goes up to Mount Carmel with all these idol worshipers and all these pagan people, and he gives them a challenge. He says, we're going to call fire down from heaven. If your God can come down and consume this altar, we're going to put this altar here of this animal sacrifice, and if your God consumes him, you pray to your God, and if your God consumes the animal, we're going to trust your God. But I'm going to pray, and my God's going to come down and consume it. And if you know the story, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and nothing happened. And they're cutting themselves and they're doing all kind of crazy stuff. And their God doesn't answer. And actually, you want to know something? You read that passage, it's like God's going, look at these crazy nut people. And Elijah goes to them and he's mocking them. You read it. You'll read it in 18 when you read it this afternoon after lunch. I know you will. Maybe. And Elijah goes to them, and after they're praying and cutting themselves and they're bleeding and they're begging their God to send fire down and consume the altar, and of course it's false gods. And Elijah goes and he says, now, where's your God? And then he does something that we as Christians, certainly in church on Sunday morning, don't even want to talk about. Elijah goes, maybe he's out back going to the bathroom. Yeah, if you don't believe me, read it. If you've never read it, that's what he says. He actually says, your God's out there doing his private business, you know. It's mocking their God. And then Elijah prays and a fire comes down and consumes the altar. So God was preparing him for that in chapter 18. And here in chapter 17, takes him away from King Ahab and takes him down and hides him in this little ravine. Now here's a very, very important point about living a life of faith and total dependence upon God. The cave, the ravine, was exactly where God wanted him to be. Boy, meditate and chew on that one. The cave and the ravine was exactly where God wanted him to be. Living in dependence upon God will mean spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, and that will always involve change. You cannot have maturity and growth when it comes to faith without change. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 12, says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The God's goal for us is that we become Christ-like in our attitudes, in our actions, and reflect the very fruit of the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about. So when we get serious about a life of faith, he will call us to those ravine cave experiences. And you know what we do? We drag our feet. We say, no, God. No, I am quite happy where I'm at. Life is good, man. I've got a good job and I've got a nice family and a car and some hobbies and life is great. And God's saying, But you're not growing. You're not living in dependence upon me. And he's going to take us to those ravine experiences so that we're alone with him. And we drag our feet and we fight God. Elijah was in this ravine. And he got his water from the brook. And he got his food from the ravens that God said to bring food for him. And humanly we're going, but God, couldn't you have done it differently? I mean, what about the Hyatt out on Route 1? You know, 5-star hotel. That would have been better. Get me alone there, God. You know, with a nice towel bathroom and all kinds of stuff and room service and you name it. God said no. See, the ravine experience will probably be void of most creature comforts, but the most important thing for us, what will be there, is God's presence. God's presence. So when we begin to allow him to change us and take us to those ravine experiences, he will begin to transform us. And yes, it may be a place void of stuff. It may not be some fancy retreat center or some five-star hotel or some nice cruise ship out in the middle of the Caribbean. It may not be anything like that. But the most important thing, and all how we need to grasp this and rest in this, it will be a place of God's presence. It will be a place maybe void of stuff. And the end result will be change, where God begins to prepare us for his bigger purposes in our lives. Fourth pillar, accepting God's daily provision. Well, if you fasten your seatbelt, you better fasten it tighter. Elijah's example here in verse 4. Here's God's word to Elijah. God's word. I have ordered the ravens to feed you. Do you know what a raven is? It's a scavenger. I mean, did you ever eat roadkill? Don't answer. God is sovereign. He ordered the ravens to bring food for Elijah. The raven, a crow-like bird, brought him his daily food. And what was Elijah's daily needs? Honestly, what was Elijah's daily needs? Really no different than ours. Elijah's daily needs. The cave provided him shelter. The brook provided him with water. I don't think there were flush toilets, but there was water. The ravens under God's orders. God's orders. One more time. God's orders brought him food. You talk about room service. Ravens come every day and bring him food. Wow. And here's the heavy part. Elijah had his own private ravens from God, and God set the menu, and God set the amount. God set the menu, and God set the amount. Are we really any different than Elijah? No. We need food, shelter, clothing, you know, water. Does God really know what we need? Capital N-E-E-D. Does God know what we need? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus' words. Jesus promised that every Christian, that if we would seek his kingdom first, that he would meet our needs of food, clothing, and shelter. But God will set the menu and God will set the amount. Not us. It will be his menu and his amount. There is no such thing in Jesus' life or Jesus' teaching, and certainly not in Elijah's life here as our example. There is no such thing as prosperity. Name it and claim it. This prosperity gospel nonsense, just name it and claim it. I mean, do you want a Cadillac? Just name it. Just pray and you're going to get yourself a Cadillac. Well, I'd rather have the Corvette, but you know. None of that. It may be roadkill quality. But I'll tell you, if it comes from God, I'll take it from God every time over the best five-star hotel going. If it comes from God. Amen. Fifth pillar. One more notch in your seatbelt. Relinquishing all earthly security to the Lord. And this is one that, man, I have struggled with in my life over the years. And to be honest, as a person, as a man, as a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, could I do this? Listen to Elijah's example in verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up. Now we really get heavy. And this is the time to really get serious about a life of faith in God. Put yourself in Elijah's sandals. Really. You've come and you've spoken these strong prophetic words against rebellious, idolatrous Ahab and Jezebel. You pronounce that there's not going to be rain for 3 years. God takes you to this ravine where you're fed by ravens and you drink water out of the brook and there are no creature comforts. And you're eating food from God's table, God's menu, and so forth. And now the brook dries up. going, whoa, God, what are you doing? God, you made a mistake. This cannot be happening. God, I've done everything you've asked. I've spoken against the king, and I've lived in this little hole in the wall for almost 3 years, and I've eaten this raven brought food stuff. And now the brook dries up. Living a life of dependence upon God means relinquishing all earthly security to Him. All earthly security to Him. And you say, Pastor, you're nuts. Call me nuts. Go ahead. That's what Elijah did. That's an exciting place to be. Our human reaction when our brooks dry up. I don't deserve this. God, you made a mistake. God, why are you doing this to me? I'm different. You know, do it to somebody else, but don't do it to me. You know, I have listened and I've heard your word and I'm trying to obey you. God, you're messing up in my life. I need this security. See, when everything is gone and our brook or our earthly source of security dries up, then in whom do we put our trust and our dependence when everything's gone? Now, a very, very important theological point. This will challenge your theology about what you believe about God. Who dried up the brook? God. God dried up the brook. Now, if Elijah had been some kind of radical demon buster, he could have come to the brook and he could have gone, brook, water stop, no problem, demon, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I mean, can you see him? He'd have been a nice TV evangelist kind of dude. You know, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, water flow. Would the water have flowed? No. Why? God dried up the brook. He could have been one of these name it and claim it kind of dudes, you know, health, wealth, prosperity, nut. He could have claimed it. Whoa, brook's dried up? I just claim it, you know. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I claim the water right now. Just got a mind over matter kind of thing. I claim the water. Would the brook have started flowing? No. No, because God dried up the brook. If he had been some wimpy Christian, all wrapped up in himself and his own comfort little stuff, he'd have been grumbling and complaining and blaming God for dealing him a bad hand. See, are there times that we go through in life where God will dry up the brooks and all earthly security is gone? Remember, Elijah had no bank account. He had no IRA, he had no pension fund, he had no stocks and bonds, no retirement, no earthly security whatsoever. And it's not that any of those things are bad, they're not bad. But if we want to live in dependence upon God, they must not be our source of security, because God may come along and dry them all up. Just read Job in the Old Testament. And he may have it all taken away. And I think sometimes we as, quote, Bible-believing evangelical Christians, we go, yeah, I believe it. That's a nice, thanks, Pastor. That's a good sermon this morning. I really liked hearing about Elijah. I really liked hearing about Job, you know. But God, wait a second. See, I got this ace up my sleeve in case God fails. Oh, I believe you, God, but I got to have this ace in case you fail. See, we can't keep any aces up our sleeve. God will provide everything we need, even when he dries up all our sources of security. I love America. I think it's the greatest country that's ever been. I'm proud to be an American. But my security and my hope is not in America. My security, my hope is in Jesus. And I am thankful that I get a good salary from the church. My wife's a nurse and she gets a good salary, and I praise God for that. And I got money in the bank, and I got two Harley Davidsons, and I got a Camaro project car for 30 years, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But my security is in none of that. And if God says, I want to take it all, I say, okay, God, I may, you know, I'll miss the Harley probably more than anything. Not you, my dear wife. But my security is not in the stuff. America could collapse. I hope it doesn't. I pray that it doesn't. I pray God shows mercy to us. But it could all collapse. Get ready when God says, go and dry up the brook. Here's another sermon for another time, but I can't leave you just kind of hanging here. God takes him and takes him to Zarephath. And there, what does God do? He says, okay, the brook dries up, and I want you to go to Zarephath, and there a widow woman is going to take care of you. Oh, my. A widow woman has a son who ends up dying. Read it. You can read it later in Kings. I know you're going to read it this afternoon. You can't wait. The widow woman, all she has is enough meal and oil to make one little cake for she and her son. And she said, we're going to die. And Elijah says, I want you to feed me first. I mean the audacity of that dude. Well, she obeys. And the oil and the meal does not run out, and she takes care of her and her son. But can you imagine going from now the brook dries up to a widow woman taking care of you? One quick story, and we're going to end with this. 1978, my wife Connie and I, we moved to a small eastern town, eastern shore town of Secretary, Maryland, a town of about 600 people. I had been in graduate school in the Pittsburgh area, working in a steel mill, going to seminary. Then we moved to Secretary, and we had three children, and our youngest daughter, Suzanne, was born when we lived there. And my salary was less than $5,000 a year. And God was teaching me to live in dependence upon Him. And I'm sitting in my office one day, and it is attached to the parsonage where we lived. And we had a screened-in porch, as many houses do there. And I notice a knock on the door, and I look. And down the street from us lived this old widow woman named Miss Maggie, and she was 90 years old. And she was, I would say, three-fourths blind and about three-fourths deaf. And she had a little amplifier that she had pinned to her slip right here on her chest. And if you wanted to talk to her, you had to talk right to her chest. Really. And I see Maggie knocking on my door. And I go and I say, Miss Maggie. And she didn't even come to our church. She just lived across from the church building. And she said, preacher. And she called me preacher. She said, preacher, here, I got something for you. And she handed me a $20 bill. I said, Maggie, I can't take that. She says, yeah, you got to, preacher. God told me to give it to you, and you won't deprive me of a blessing, will you? So I had a widow woman, an old 90-year-old woman, almost blind and almost deaf, giving me $20. You talk about humbling. Whoa. But I had to take it. Will we live in total dependence upon God? Five pillars. Make a total commitment to live for Jesus Christ. Live by the Word of God. Allow God to change us through the ravine experiences. Accepting God's provision through His ravens. Let Him set the menu and the amount. And then relinquish all earthly security when He does dry up those brooks. I challenge you to become a man or a woman that will live by faith. Total dependence upon God. Will you live like Elijah? Let's stand. We're going to pray. Father, thank you for your presence, for your word. We want to live in your presence. We know that you'll meet all of our needs. And we rest in you, Lord Jesus. And as we leave here, let us breathe in your presence, Lord. Amen. We're dismissed.